Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Calendar where you watch sports the longest throughout the day.
Right. And because it's also on a work day. Like, imagine if college yes. football Saturday was on a Friday.
Right. Like, if they played Thursday night football at noon.
Right. It was all Thursday, day on Thursdays and Fridays.
Right.
Which it should be, honestly. That would be.
One more thing. I actually turned a corner. When Buffalo Wild Wings actually debuted the big Buffalo, I was like, this is weird. This is creepy.
I'm kind of in on him.
I think he's fun now.
When you're talking about this, like, you talk about this for a second, right? So I'm like, what is Jeffrey? Jeffrey, I know you love commercials, and I've learned this from you by doing
Right Trivia over the years, right?
Like, I know the Right or the Right Trivia. Like, as Jeffrey is, it's a brand question. You're on top of it. But
not as sharp as I used to be, but yes.
No, I did watch the selection show with my daughter, and so the commercials, like the Buffalo Wild Wings, those are the ones that got her attention, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, is that a real buffalo? It's like, no, buffaloes are real, but that's not a real one.
No,
they don't talk.
But he's real
like
to me, damn it.
And then
I will say this, like,
the Geico commercial was fascinating to her, you know, watching this little lizard, but she rarely watches commercials. That's, you know, most of this generation doesn't watch commercials. That's like the younger generation. So when we're watching something with commercials, like the commercials are just like, she's intrigued. But I do remember watching those commercials with her on Selection Sunday.
What's the one they're rolling out now? Like,
he's got the weird optical. He's got the Ted Mosby, like
the Buffalo.
Yeah, the Buffalo's got like the opposite. I don't know what he's doing. It looks like the glasses Maz wears in The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
like,
he's trying to watch all the screens.
But what
at
he
the
wants to do
time.
Is like he's got him extended to where he can move. But like,
I couldn't figure it out.
At least like to me, like at least it's like looks like everybody's having a good time at B-Dubs.
It looks
might
like
wanna
a
go,
while,
yeah. might want to go step into a B-Dubs and see what this place is about.
The energy was there.
It's like that makes me want to go to B-Dubs. He's making it fun. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. As mentioned, we have had a coaching announcement with a team that's in the tournament.
Oh, wow.
We've got to get into that. Also, I've identified when you can officially mark the end of free agency. We'll talk about that on the list and some more tournament when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. March is here, and that means that Zen Sports has launched a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. The Big Bucket Club Sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. 20 small prize winners earn a $100 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $50 cash. Earn entries on every bet placed in March and every dollar bet in March, and you can earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. College baseball has been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Also, they are offering multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See the full terms over on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. Let's get into the list. Will Wade. Yeah, from Jeff Borzella over on ESPN. McNeese's, by the way, when did McNeese pull the Sean Parker? When did they drop the state? It's always been...
I didn't think they did.
I've now seen on logos and whatnot, they're trying to just be McNeese.
Well, it's you know, it works out for some places.
Will Wade has reached an agreement to become the next head coach at NC State, sources told ESPN on Wednesday. McNeese, which won the Southland Conference regular season and tournament championships, is set to play in the NCAA tournament against Clemson on Thursday. Shoutouts True TV at 2:15 Central Time. Also of note, Brad Brunell, it was announced today that he has signed an extension with Clemson. That is who they will play. Will Wade is a Clemson grad. So there was some thoughts of if Brunell were to take another job, would Will Wade be the option at Clemson? Also, Wade was on McAfee today, and he was asked about it. Quote, there's no need to hide it. The guys are reading it on social media. It's no secret, and I'm not going to ask them to do something I'm not willing to do. It's no good if you don't address it and if you sit there and BS them. They know. They can read right through the BS, so you might as well just tell them this is what it is. Now, I think there's a couple interesting things here. So, forever, you know, the standard of, even if you had an agreement in place, the standard of a coach was, I'm never leaving here, or whatever, I'm not going to talk. I'm never leaving here turned into, I don't comment on erroneous reports, nobody's contacted me. What about your agent? Nobody's contacted me. Like, that was another big one. I watched... Ben McCollum at Drake, he was asked about it on a radio show earlier this week, basically gave the same type playbook answer that Will Wade has given, which is like, they're now kind of being transparent about it. So I was thinking, like, what's the difference? I think now the key difference is you're probably just bringing a lot of them with you anyway, right?
I mean, that's been the case with a lot of these places. Look at Calipari leaving Kentucky, taking a lot of the talent there. That's the main one that comes to mind.
Well,
that's
actually,
true.
Like, to me, there's basically in college. Honestly, we saw this with front runner at Indiana, Mr. Tough Guy, El Punt from the 38.
Cignetti.
Is it Kurt? I think Kurt was the old Ole Miss offense coordinator. They're all related.
Are they?
Is it Kurt Cignetti? Maybe it is Kurt. But it's a Cignetti. They're all in the family.
It is Kurt.
Okay, yeah. It's Kurt Cignetti. He just brought like half his roster from JMU over to Indiana. But like we saw when, as you mentioned, Cal goes to Arkansas, brings a large portion of his roster. When Dusty May goes from FAU to Michigan, it's a large portion of your roster. I think part of the idea is, hey, you're already going to be behind in recruiting. Go take an established winner, and your first year can be less painful because at least they're going to have some good players. And like I'm wondering, is part of the we never used to talk about this, now they're talking about it, is it because basically they're telling them all anyway, like, hey, guys, we're going to Clemson next year? They're basically the coaches are sharing the information with players that they used to only share with their assistants. Like, hey guys, we're all going to Clemson next year. We're all going to NC State. Wherever we're going. Like, only the assistants would really know. The players were kind of left in the dark. Now I think they're just telling everybody, like, hey, we're all just packing up and moving to NC State, except for like a couple of you.
I think you might be onto something. You might be onto something. It's interesting. Well, That the coaching moving around has got me wondering, is it the bracket, Jeffrey? Little shift off topic, but so we
this matters because like my first thought was go fade McNeese.
Yeah.
But now like I don't
know. If they're all together next year anyway,
what if they're all just
kind of playing for
each
other?
Part of the fracturing is when you find
out they're playing Clemson, right? They're playing Clemson.
Correct.
So it's a team we know a little bit about.
And McNeese has been I know they played Bama early, and they kept it tight-ish. I want to say it was like 8 to 10, somewhere in that area. And then they played, I think, Mississippi State pretty tough.
They lost to Alabama by 8, 72-64. other tournament teams, they lost to State by 3, and they lost to Liberty by 4.
Okay, so they've been fairly competitive. They're very trendy in that 5-12, but, like, I don't know. Like, I used to think, like, fade the spot, but now I don't know. It's like maybe they're all just like, it's not. Because part of that happens is coach is quitting on us. Why should I care? He's leaving anyway. But now it's like, well, that's my coach. Because, like, it's kind of like we've seen with Cal, where it's like guys don't really commit to, like, guys didn't commit to Memphis. Guys didn't commit to Kentucky. They commit to Cal. Like, I almost wonder if it's the same approach here. Because that was the other thing. We also had Tucker DeVries getting hired by Indiana yesterday. And I partially wonder if that was part of West Virginia getting left out.
That they knew that DeVries was leaving.
Buy or sell this.
Mm.
Mm.
Did y'all see the internet conspiracy? The Twitter conspiracy?
Let's X, you mean?
No, sorry. It's all happening on X. From IU Anon, 1976.
A trusted source, yeah.
March the 12th, 2025. One, there's been a verbal agreement with coach for almost a month. The contract was drafted and is going to be signed as soon as the coach's season is over.
Okay, but his season wouldn't be over until they were eliminated from the tournament.
Correct. Two, I'm not afraid to say who it is. It's Darian, referring to DeVries. Same day. Also, his Twitter handle is I am the source your favorite burner pretends to have, ultra mega booster insider extraordinaire. Seriously, I actually know. How can you actually dismiss any of that?
I need to follow that account.
This is the biggest problem that I have with the internet.
No, your biggest Jeffrey's biggest problem with the entire internet.
Well,
is that they never lie.
Well, no. What happens is there are people that just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall. First off, I'm willing to bet IU Anons doesn't just have one burner.
Oh, no.
And I would like to know if you can go out and you find other burners that have the same message, but with, shall we say, Ben McCollum, or shall we say, Chris Beard, whatnot. Like, but everyone focuses on, well, this one got it right.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, that the same thing, like, that happens throughout the internet. It's like, well, this guy was right one time. And it's like, well, we don't know. He never had to put his name on anything. We don't know. Like, that's part of reporting, is, like, in the end, establishing credibility. Like, you can throw stuff against the wall, but you got to put your name on it, and you also have to report it. I'll say this. I don't think Tucker DeVries decided in the last, over the weekend, that he's going to be the Indiana coach. I'll say that.
That's probably fair.
And also, the other reason why I don't think Will Wade, like, I think also maybe a certain degree of this is, I think maybe, like, then this would be interesting to see if McCollum stays at Drake. So if McCollum stays at Drake, like, maybe in the end, like, Will Wade doesn't know that the news is breaking today, but he knows he's taking the NC State job. So, hey, I might as well just go out and say I'm, like, talk about it, because that way, like, Will Wade has a problem, like, he is perceived, rightly or wrongly, like, you're a hypocrite. So maybe part of his PR strategy is, okay, I'll actually tell the truth this time, kind of. Or at least I will give an answer that is considered more transparent than is expected.
I think one of the more interesting things about it, which I think he said in his interview or chat with McAfee, was that there is the other aspect of it, of that a lot of these students are a lot more in the know now, whether it be from these reports, because, again, to that point of maybe this is Will Wade just trying to get ahead of it, would these students, would these athletes that are playing for him rather hear it from the horse's mouth, or, man, did you guys just get the On3 notification or whatever that coach is out of here?
I hate to give out state secrets. You know who a criminally underrated source is on a coaching search? Figure out in the athletic department who makes the infographics.
Ooh.
Because they have to have the infographics ready. And they make them. Now, some people caught on to that, got a little wise, and they made, like, they would tip off. They would tell one of the graphic design people, you know,
make it for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And, like, that was kind of how you sent it. But that used to be a pretty good source, because they always would have that thing ready to go. ready to go. NFL. All right, guys, I've recognized what we can now establish. When you see this, you can say, close the book on NFL free agency.
All right.
They were shoving down rule proposals to us today. Like, all day. Like, everything. So, couple of the highlights. The Packers,
yeah, I wanna know.
The Packers have not backed down on being against the tush push. So they have still, they want to, they proposed Rule 12, Section 1, prohibit an offensive player from pushing a teammate who is lined up directly behind the snapper and receives the snap immediately. Okay, here's my whole deal on the tush push. Here's where I'll reach out to you, Eagles fans, as a Giants fan. As long as we're going to allow you to push the pile, the play should be legal. My whole deal is, do I enjoy the play? No. Do I think it's exciting? No. Do I also acknowledge everyone can do it and they're clearly the best at it? Yeah. I don't like being able to just push the runner, period. And then you always hear the, well, it's too hard to officiate. No, it's not. Did you see someone push the runner? Did the pile get pushed? Like, that to me, it's like, no. Like, that's not part of the sport. Like, it just becomes rugby. I do not like being able to push the runner. I think all of it should be banned. But my deal is, if you're going to make it, if you're going to make that legal, if being able to push the running back, like, I think it's absolutely absurd when you're watching a running back go 6 yards and then his offensive tackle slings him for another three. That is, like, to me, that's not football. That is against the play. Wherever he goes down, like, we make it hard enough on defense.
Yeah.
Like, that is making it even more absurd. I loved this one from the Lions. The Lions...
Wait, so you don't call it the brotherly shove? You don't
no, the tush push. It's always the tush push.
All right.
Come on. Tush push. And the Bills need to learn how to do the tush push. Don't just have your quarterback run off left tackle.
All right.
Like, it does help when your quarterback is an F-150.
Yeah, I mean, like, the other thing, though, is, like, that's they kept just doing it over and over. Like, my thing is, yeah. I think the Eagles
Fix
are they're good at it. Like, well, this was the other thing that I thought was amazing. The best fourth down offense was the Commanders this year. Zero quarterback sneaks.
I was going to say Jaden Daniels Brian Robinson just had it cooking.
Well, and it's also not fair when you can have a naked bootleg and Jaden Daniels is on the edge. Turns out that's unfair. I loved this one, though, from the Lions. Rule 8, Section 4. To eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty imposed for defensive holding and illegal contact. Again, I don't necessarily hate it. With that being said, do you know who led the NFL in defensive holding and illegal contact penalties? The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
They also want to eliminate... We're doing this again. I think the last time I really remember the push for it was the Beastquake. The Lions are also pushing for playoff seeding based on overall record.
I saw this as well.
I'm against it. I think winning your division should matter. I don't even care. Like, sometimes the breaks are, yeah, a 7-9 team wins the division and you got to go on the road.
NFC South.
Win your division. Yeah, usually yeah, almost exclusively the NFC South.
Yeah.
I think the AFC South, they've definitely had some.
They've gotten a little better, though, because, like, Houston and.
Well, they got a little better because the division collectively got worse, and so one team that was good got to beat the rest of them. Philly also has proposed to align the postseason and regular season overtime by granting both teams an opportunity to possess the ball regardless of the outcome of the first possession, subject to a 15-minute overtime period. It seems like the rule that might actually get changed is overtime.
I'm fine with that if they just make it the same. That doesn't bother me any.
I'm also fine with, like, I don't know, just play 10 minutes. Have the clock be a thing. Like, the thing that I didn't like about the... Remember the last... not this Super Bowl, which obviously overtime didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the,
I was thinking... You know,
remember
I
when the, remember the clock there. Was running down on the Chiefs? And we're like, wait a minute. Are we just going to go to a second quarter because they've only had one possession? Like, my deal is make the clock a part of it. Like, play for 10 minutes.
I'd be fine with. I mean, because that's the thing. Like, how many drives do you think we could actually get through with 10 minutes, depending on the teams? I mean, if it's like two up-tempo offenses, we could be talking three, four drives
I mean,
and that's fine.
And probably what you'd end up seeing is both teams get the ball once.
Probably. That's most likely.
Because whoever gets the ball first wants to try to eat at the clock. And, like, I'm fine with that. Let's see.
I mean, the overtime needs to still, it's not perfected, obviously. So
yeah, but, like, I don't like college overtime, especially in the NFL. Like, college overtime in the NFL, like, okay, you're giving them a 42-yarder. Okay.
I always
like, there needs to be some threat of not scoring.
I always like the it might have been an old Bob Costas idea of the quickest to six. The quickest to six makes the most sense to me. Like, you got to get a touchdown.
I don't hate that at all.
You get a touchdown, or you can play it safe and get that field goal or get forced into the field goal and have to try to get another one, you know, with your defense. But the quickest to six kind of puts in a strategy of still puts in.
I don't
like, it's not unbalanced as much because if you win the flip, you still have to decide if you're going for the touchdown or not.
I don't hate that. I also, though,
but they never considered it.
The only thing I kind of don't mind the clock being part of the strategy.
I like the clock being,
yeah,
the clock being there.
Let's see. Another big one by Baltimore. You know, this is big because they got multiple owners in on it. Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, Vegas, Minnesota,
oh, wow,
Philly, and Washington. To permit clubs to prepare kicking balls, a.k.a. the K-balls, before game day, similar to the process for game balls. Okay.
That, sure. Like, maybe I'm stupid because I don't know that I've ever really noticed a crazy difference.
So the kicking balls are from the league.
Okay,
so
those come straight down. They don't get muddied and all that
stuff. So originally, the whole reason Deflategate happened,
yeah,
is originally the league was responsible for all footballs put in play. Quarterbacks didn't like that because basically saying, like, everyone playing with this, like, from high school to college, your whole life, your team has supplied your own football when you're on offense. The league supplying it, they're like, well, we like our footballs, like, at a certain level. And so that's when they brought in the, okay, you can have your own footballs if it's within this PSI
the parameters.
Range. Correct.
Yeah.
Like, so, but the kicking balls were still always provided by the league. Basically, what this is saying is the kickers now want to gussy up their footballs the way that they do. Cannot. All right, who's the first kicker to get charged with something?
What's McAfee say about this? You know, he's.
I plead the fifth on that, Jeffrey.
McAfee. Greg DeLay?
Zerline is.
Is he still there?
I believe he is.
Which kicker does the most sketchy stuff?
Again, I plead the fifth.
All right, what does Jake Elliott think about this?
I don't think Greg the Leg would be the guy.
Oh, I say play the fifth because of Justin Tucker.
Oh, I don't even think he's being in the league.
And that's exactly why I say that.
Yeah, but Sam, that's not a play. I've moved. The Ravens are definitely going to do the whole, we did this for the good of everyone. We're cutting him. It's like,
yeah,
he's bad this year. Like he wasn't great
this year.
Yeah,
but. Trying to think who wants the most maybe control. I don't even know if it's about sketchiness, but like someone who historically has been really solid and then maybe had like Younghoe Koo, who had a pretty down year from like long this year.
Well, the other thing though is, well, A, there's definitely going to be, you know, someone's going to run every simulation possible to see what's the PSI that maximizes and optimizes distance, length, height.
Yeah.
But the other thing that would be a little different is, there are three people involved in the kick. I would imagine the snapper and the kicker probably don't want the ball inflated the same way. And I can definitely tell you this.
The holder does not.
Can confirm. The holder does not want, like, I assume the kickers don't want to throw back rocks or kick back rock. You know, the harder, I'm sure they want to soften them as much as possible, kind of like Brady did. Holder would probably want that. I don't know what the snapper would. Snapper probably, because he probably grip it better. I mean, that's probably it. The one, though, that I think is, all right, I've made my peace with the new kickoff. Like, whatever. My biggest problem, though, is you can't implement that kickoff and not have the 4th and 18 from your own, whatever, 4th and 18 from your own 23 to get the ball back. Like, it is.
Oh, I'd love that.
Like,
be electric.
That was part of the rule, was this kickoff, like, because we acknowledge. The declaring an onside kick, come on. Like, who? Part of the fun of onside kick is not, oh, we know it's coming, let's see if they can get it. No, it's the surprise onside kick.
Right.
So we're eliminating that entirely. you still have
which I don't like.
Yeah, I mean, I am against it.
That's a huge. Yeah.
I've at least made peace with it. Like, they're doing it to not get sued, like because it's just a dangerous play. I can acknowledge that. Fine. What about the other 125 snaps?
Right, there's a lot of other dangerous moments. Okay. I think. Maybe, all right, possible.
Yeah. Well, what about your your superstar quarterback late sliding?
What are they proposing in this rule involving the nothing to do with the kickoff?
So they were tweaking the kickoff, but no one submitted a formal policy. Oh. I want them to actually. Someone needs to step up and do the fourth down, and I think it's fourth and 18 from your own. Maybe it was fourth and 18 from your own 18. So if you could get the ball to the, it was maybe fourth and 12 from your 18. If you could get the ball, because the odds of you converting fourth and 12 statistically are like 5% somewhere in that area, and the odds of a surprise onside kick is somewhere in that area. Like, whereas the declared onside kick is like sub 1%.
Yeah, all right, that makes sense.
So give me at least that. Let's see. All right, let's take a quick break. There's two topics I want to talk about.
Okay.
So Coach USA has weighed in on the SEC and what he's hoping to see throughout the NCAA tournament. I also think it's an interesting subject because, listen, when you get 14 teams in, everybody's going to be ready to pounce. I want to discuss that, but also included with Coach USA, Dan Wetzel has a column up over at ESPN.com about some of the older coaches in basketball, coaches that you would think this era would not appeal to. They're actually having success. Compare, contrast with college football. I want to discuss that next. We'll do that when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
ESPN. All right, Kevin and George. Speaking on his Sirius XM podcast, Coach USA, a.k.a. Mike Krzyzewski, was asked about the SEC getting 14 bids. I'm going to be excited watching the record 14 SEC teams after one game. After two games, and I'm not knocking them. Yeah, you are. Just keep going. I just want to see if the metrics and the net rankings, which put such a heavy emphasis on November and December games, hold. Well, Mike, if that's the case, then why is Memphis sitting there at like 50 in the net, if that's what it is? I think what happened is they played common opponents with other leagues and they dominated at a level that we've never seen. Your number one acolyte, Jay Billis, has even made that distinction. But the larger point is, A, I miss that guy. We need him back. I just can't work up the lather of hate for Duke. But B, I think it puts the SEC under an unbelievable microscope. And
without a doubt.
Because it is the situation, and the SEC kind of does it to themselves. Because I mentioned with Topmeyer, I couldn't decide what I was rooting for. I couldn't decide if I wanted the SEC to have as dominant of a performance as possible just to watch the people that want to pounce, watch them squirm. Like, I very much enjoy that. The problem is, the byproduct of that is the amount of SEC propaganda will be thrown down our, just shoved down our throats, is just going to be equally as insufferable. So, but I think the larger point is,
I'm for it. Look, like 14, right? It's the record. I was going to say, we've never seen this before. Obviously, we've never seen it before because we got a record. It's been a while. But
the last time we saw it, now keep in mind, the last time we saw it, the only time we saw the record was 2011 Big East. 16-team league, like the SEC, got 11 bids. Now, two made it past the Sweet Six, or made it to the second weekend, one of which won the title. But that was... that very much, there was the idea of when the Big East got that, like, best league in basketball, it hurt their reputation. Like, it really did.
And it could. I mean, the SEC has never been in this position before. And after so many years of dominating college football, to be here and now have, like, they're the best basketball league officially of all time, the tournament era of NCAA basketball, because they got 14 teams in. So they got to show up. Jeffrey, I filled out my bracket. Do you think I need to tear it up because I've got an all-SEC Final Four?
I've got the Iron Bowl finals. All right, so you took Auburn, Florida, Bama, and Tennessee?
Yeah, I'm thinking about scratching the Tennessee.
I don't know. I've talked myself into Tennessee.
But that would be it, right? That's your all-SEC. If it happens, I mean, you could see a couple other SEC teams maybe breakthrough, but those are your top ranked ones in each one. It's very logical.
Remind the audience again where your degree's from.
I'm from the University of Memphis.
Yeah. You don't see this very often.
This is why I cannot pick Tennessee to go to the Final Four. Like, that's, but I think there's, all right, so you got Memphis versus Florida, right? That's what I've got on my bracket. I got Memphis in the Sweet 16 versus Florida. I do have that. But I do have an Auburn, Alabama finals. So what's fun about filling out a bracket, and this has always been my way of looking at it, there, Memphis is a 5 seed. You could pick them to the Final Four. You should pick them for a Final Four, because what if they go and you didn't have them and you're a Memphis person? Go ahead, pick them to the Final Four. If you think they can make it, do it. Definitely a Sweet 16, right? Isn't that, I don't know if this conversation has popped up on the radio yet. I keep my radio locked in on 92.9, but I don't know if I've missed the conversation. Like, what is it? If you're a true Memphis fan, how far do you have to take the Tigers? Or you're taking them to Sweet 16, right? If you're a Memphis fan, are you filling your bracket out with the Tigers? Bottom of your bracket prediction? I don't care your logical real life prediction. Your bracket, you got to take them to Sweet 16.
This is the common man experiencing the gambler's dilemma. If you want to bet
on your team or not.
On your team or not. Because I can make a perfectly reasonable thing. If Memphis makes it to the Sweet 16 and you didn't have it on your bracket,
yeah.
And okay, let's even say it
makes your bracket less fun.
Let's say though it keeps you from winning your bracket pool. Like, let's say worst case scenario, like right. It keeps you from winning the $800 or whatever.
Because here's the thing: if it's like a true office pool against somebody else in Memphis, you get people taking the Tigers to the Final Four on that bracket.
Correct.
So the further the Tigers go, the worse your bracket's going to be.
Correct. And I actually don't hate going contrarian. Like, okay,
knowing that there's going to be a lot of Memphis.
It's not like you're going to be sitting down on Friday going, I hope the Rams win. Like, right. You know what I mean?
You win both ways.
Like, there is an emotional hedge where even if they're not on your bracket, are you really going to care?
No. And you're not. Anyway, I think we could see.
I'll say this, though. Does your Does your drink taste any sweeter or any less sweet on Friday if you don't have the Tigers advancing and they win?
Oh, come on now. If are you really going to live in Memphis and not pick Memphis? Beating Colorado State?
I think there's some lot. If you are in Memphis, I do think there is some logic of. I don't play a bracket challenge just to be happy.
Yeah.
I play to win. So
sure. But I mean, not everybody has this wealth of knowledge that you have on picking and knowing about these games. We're looking at numbers. We're looking at there's emotions involved. And I think there is something to it because your team in this scenario, you know, these type of look at how it breaks, especially in recent times with these brackets. Like it's as open as ever before. So, like, I have a chance to realistically pick an Iron Bowl finals, and I believe that Auburn is the best team, even though their recent stats are not lining up historically. There could be an Iron Bowl final game, and Bama, as far as the SEC coaches with the most experience as of late in this tournament, like, there's a lot of that's why I'm picking it, because I believe it could happen. And, you know, I'm a big storyline person, so I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with that storyline. Let's see
Can I interest you, though, in...
What are you going to change me to?
What about Auburn versus Tennessee?
Want that. Like you said, that's one
Bruce
of my...
Bruce Pearl against his old coach.
I do think that would be fun, too. I do think that would be fun. But that's too risky. See, the things you don't want Tennessee go. Tennessee never been to a Final Four, right? So the Memphis fans are cheering against that idea.
You still have more
of their success. You don't want them.
You still even have even,
you don't
even
want
if you
them
go
that
the,
close to the championship.
Even if you have to go in the non-vacated division, you still have more.
Sure. But you don't want them going to play Auburn. They'd have to go to the championship game, and that's just too risky. That's too risky. Yeah, that's just too much. But do you think Memphis fans are cheering less against? Were you cheering for Arkansas versus Arkansas? I like Arkansas versus Kansas, by the way, is a fantastic matchup, right? Just drop the R off of there. But Arkansas, are we cheering for Arkansas now?
Oh, I mean, I saw my stock.
Right.
And I'm pretty invested.
I want Cal Patino
yeah,
so bad.
And I literally, Rick has referred to him as everyone knows, I don't have any love for John. And Cal today referred to Rick as, quote, him.
I love it. That's what they do.
That's sports.
I know. So we're all like, that is
the
game.
I don't want that. I need that. That's why
it's been so long. It's been so long since we've cheered for John Calipari. That aside, like, say, let's not even the matchup, like, or the average Memphis fan who also hates Patino, right? Because of his Louisville connections. But, like, do you think they're cheering more against Kentucky or Arkansas? Which one do they want to see the least amount of success in the tournament?
You mean Kansas? Because now it feels like now Memphis fans...
Well, I'm saying like Arkansas, I'm switching. I'm going back. So many years Memphis fans have been cheering against Kentucky. Is are we done? Don't care?
I think Memphis fans have now shaken hands.
I don't know if it's gone that far. I think it's kind of like, you know, you reap what you sow. Look, you don't have Calipari now too.
Yeah.
Let's watch you lose in the tournament.
But Pope's kind of likable. Like there's not as...
That's what I was thinking. I actually kind of like Pope. He seems like a cool guy.
Seems like a cool guy. I also think he's getting overinflated I think that's a huge part of it. But I agree with you. He's infectious.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of has the same vibe as Bruce Pearl. Like, where it's like, he's an excitable guy.
I wouldn't go
that
far, but.
But no, he's like, you know what I mean?
Yet.
Like,
vibes.
I'm saying the vibes there.
Sure.
It's a little different when you watch like a 6'8 guy, dude.
Done cheering against Kentucky. But it may be done cheering against Calipari in general.
No, I think in the end,
I think
Cal's
success is Arkansas. To me, is now it's gotten to like it's funny for Kentucky. Like, ha, Kentucky, look, Cal's gone, and look, he's doing well.
Well, I think they would argue he's underachieved. But, like that, they would be like, see, now how you paid $10 million for all that, $10 million for a 10 seed. I think that would be their argument.
I mean, that, no doubt about that. No doubt. No, but I think definitely the two teams I want is outside of Memphis in the. In the round of 64, do you want to see Arkansas and St. John's win?
I think this is the big question I have. I don't think,
but
normally when you see the people that have brackets with nothing but ones and twos, you roll your eyes because we all know it ain't happening. I think it's happening this year. I think this feels chalk.
Like it feels this pretty chalk
because the difference between the good teams and everyone else. Now, where I think you could make your hay is, George and I have talked about. It's kind of like F1. The mid card's actually interesting. Like everyone from like
great matchup.
4 seed to like 12s. Like there, I think that could get kind of nutty. But in the end, I think we could wind up in the same spot where it's like, We get to the Elite Eight, and honestly, you could talk me into six out of the eight Elite Eight teams are ones or twos.
And that would be a lot of the SEC in there.
And I think that's the final question, because I want your thoughts on this. What does because even if the SEC, like, let's say this. Let's say Auburn, you're right, and Auburn wins the title. But let's say the SEC only gets, like, four teams to the Sweet 16. So four out of 14 to the Sweet 16.
Because they should have, if they had 14 of the 16, they're going to hit each other.
Like, you run into some spots where
they're going to have to play each other.
Well, for instance, Texas could be eliminated tonight. So you can only have 13 on the bracket. But you'll run into a spot where, like, Vandy would play Bama. Well, one of them's getting beat. That's the only path. So,
right.
Like, what is the number? Because what happens is, even if it's going to be
Kentucky, Tennessee is going to happen.
Yeah, at some point.
The Sweet 16.
Yeah, right. But that at least happens the second week. To a certain degree,
So you're saying four out of...
Well, like, Oklahoma can play Florida in the second round. One of them's getting beat.
So how many of the Sweet 16 do they need to have?
Like, correct.
To where
people will at least acknowledge, like...
It's four. Four is a solid number, I think. That leaves...
I think four...
Is that too low?
I think four... Because, okay, let's see how many top... Because
they could... Yeah, you said
here are the teams that should make the... Based on seeding, that should make... The Sweet 16.
All right.
Auburn. Florida.
All right. And then you go...
Tennessee. Alabama. So, did I name four there?
That's four.
All right. And then, do they not have a... Kentucky's a three, correct?
Kentucky's a three, yes. Kentucky's supposed to go Sweet 16, yeah.
And then, A&M is a four. So, they have six teams that are seeded to make the Sweet 16. I think four is a...
I think four is reasonable, but I do think maybe that's low if you look at it from that perspective, because they're technically supposed to have six of them.
Yeah, but I think if you said they got four, that to me is like, all right. Like, the haters... The
worst, that's a quarter of the field, if you think about
correct,
it.
Correct,
like
that's a quarter of the field. But now, the you can make case, the argument 14 is nearly...
Well...
Not quite a quarter of the field, but like...
It's a good chunk.
I mean, yes. But when you've got that many high seeds, if you're talking about Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee... I mean, those four just right there are teams that, you know, I'm kind of picking in my final four, or they could be, like, those are teams that should not lose. That's four that should all be in the Sweet 16. I mean, I know
you think you need the four that should make it and one more. You think
possibly.
That's the standard?
I don't know, maybe. Or you could drop, you can lose one of them. So I think it's probably 3+1 is what you're saying, right?
What I'm saying is, because I agree with you. Florida, you think, Auburn, Bama, Tennessee... They should make the Sweet 16.
But in this era, we get the ones and twos are losing, you know? So
I don't know if it's happening this year.
You don't know. You don't know if it's happening. But if you get at least three of the four plus, I think four's right. I think four is fair. I think it's going to still put the SEC on criticism if they had too many teams.
They're going to have to be.
That's the problem.
They're going to be neo dodging bolts.
You got to get all six of them in order to fight that fight. And that's impossible almost.
I think they need to have a winning record this weekend. I think that's the key.
I can see that. But I'm definitely watching. I can't wait. The SEC, the storyline is...
getting into tonight with Texas. Some of us have money line. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I referenced it. We got to go to John Calipari. Today, speaking at the press conference, this was just an all-time... Cal was cooking with gas today. John Calipari says he predicted his team... He predicted to his team that they would play Kansas, and if they won, they would play against, quote, him, when referring to Rick Pitino and St. John's. He also would go on to say, I can't believe, the committee must have been sick. I can't believe they didn't put the game in Lexington. That would have been unbelievable.
If we
could have got Pitino and Cal in a game in Lexington, the only problem is I think every Kentucky fan is going to be Milwaukee.
Lexington's got a hell of a slate. It's before that building. Ruff's going to have
everybody.
So, what of their enemies coming on through?
A lot of enemies.
Hey, you know, the tournament could break. It could be, you know, Jeffrey, we could get Memphis, Arkansas in the Elite Eight.
Could happen. Why not? Want to thank Kevin for being in here. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almaced.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.